All right, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. I'll not be very long this evening, but we don't have church without preaching. Amen. And verse 28, let's stand together. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." People may wonder sometimes how God gives messages to preachers, and all I can say is God does not send them by email. But He does use many different avenues to impress a text upon one's mind. And this particular sermon came from a discussion with a good pastor friend of mine, Brother Blackwell, out in at Bible Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. In fact, my wife and I and the three kids are going out there to preach revival in a few weeks in August. And so quite often we text each other Bible questions and discuss things about sermons we're working on. And so this sermon came from that discussion. He actually emailed me his sermon, and we went two different directions, but it all began at the same text. And this text is very precious to many Christians. Let me point out five things about it very quickly. First, it's an invitation. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Here's a picture of those laboring under the weight of guilt and sin. And folks, that's a heavy burden to carry. To carry around the burden of guilt and sin and worry about eternity. And religion claims to relieve that, but all religion really does is add to the load without giving any lasting peace or assurance of salvation. And so Jesus invites those who are laboring and heavy laden under their guilt and sin or even their religion to come unto Him. Give up religion for a relationship with the Redeemer. Amen. And He invites us to come to Him. And it's a directed invitation. There's only one place to find that rest, and that's with Jesus Christ. So it's an invitation, then it's a declaration. He said, "I will give you rest." And I didn't say, "I might, I could." He said, "I will. And if I come unto Him, He will give me rest." And it's a wonderful thing to at least know you're saved. Know that your sins are forgiven. I might have a lot of problems facing me this week, folks, but there's one thing I'm not worried about. I'm not worried about if I died where I'm going. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that I'm saved and born again. I'm a child of God. And He has given me the rest of the soul to know for sure that heaven is my home. So there's an invitation. There's a declaration. Thirdly, there's an obligation. He said, "Then take my yoke upon you." So He takes one set of burdens that's too heavy for us to bear, and we lay those aside. But then He gives us a yoke, His yoke, that we are to bear with Him. And so there is an obligation. Notice that He doesn't force this yoke upon us, but invites us to take it willingly, to enter into this yoke of fellowship and service with Him. Getting saved takes away a grievous yoke of guilt and shame and replaces it with Christ's yoke of surrender and service. Then fourthly, it's an education. He said, "And learn of me." Now, if I am serving the Lord and in submission to Him, I'm in the yoke with Jesus. Now, in Bible times, this is very well understood. If you had a young cow, and I know that they're not all cows. You have steers and bulls and heifers, but just to use the common vernacular, you have a cow. You know what an ox is? An ox is a trained cow. That's it. It has been trained to pull a load or pull a plow. It's been trained to work. And so an ox is a trained bull or a trained steer, a trained bovine. Amen. And the way they would train some of these younger animals is they would take the young, untrained animal and they would yoke it with the bigger, more experienced, trained ox. And the heavy end of that would be on the trained ox, but the young ox would learn from the experienced ox by if the plowman said to the right or gee or whatever they would say, and that big older ox started going this way, then the younger ox would learn, "Hey, that's what I do when the guy says go to the right." And you can tell I didn't grow up on a farm, can't you? And so you put them in the yoke with the bigger, stronger, trained ox, and the older ox would train the younger ox in the yoke, bearing the heavier side of that, but pulling the other ox along, and the younger ox would learn
by the example of the bigger, stronger ox. And so Jesus is saying to us that He is the older, experienced ox, and we are to learn from Him. Now, if you think that that is somehow demeaning or even blasphemous to compare Jesus to an ox, understand that the Bible compares Jesus to an ox. The seraphim and cherubim have four faces apiece. You have one, and the picture of the four Gospels. You have the man face is Luke's Gospel. The lion's face is Matthew's Gospel. The eagle's face is John's Gospel. And then there's the face of an ox representing Mark's Gospel, because Mark represents Jesus as the servant of the Lord. And so an ox is an animal that God chose to represent that part of Jesus' ministry. And by the way, that's the animal that is chosen to represent God's preachers. So if you want to say you're just a big dumb ox, well, I'm not dumb, but I don't mind being called an ox. And because that's what the Lord is compared to in one sense. And God compares preachers to oxen. They're trained burden bearers. That's what preachers do. One thing that preachers do. And so we're to learn of Him. And getting involved in walking with Jesus and serving with Jesus is how we learn and grow and become trained servants of the Lord. So we have an invitation, a declaration, an obligation, an education, and then we have a commendation. A commendation. In fact, two parts to this. Why should I come to Jesus? Well, first He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. So He's a perfect trainer for me. I am meek and lowly in heart. It'd be silly to put a young ox in a yoke with a wild, rebellious, cantankerous old bull. How would you expect the young ox to learn anything from an unbroken, wild-eyed bull? You know, they would learn all kinds of bad habits that way. And so Jesus says that I'm the perfect trainer, that I am meek and lowly in heart, and that's God's desire for us, is for us to be meek and lowly in heart, and submissive to the Father's will as Jesus was submissive to the Father's will. Now, meek and lowly is not the sum total of Jesus' character. Okay? A lot of folks want to think that. They want to effeminize Jesus. Jesus was not effeminate. He was masculine. There's nothing wrong with being masculine. Masculinity is not toxic in and of itself. Okay? Jesus was a man. But being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself even unto death, didn't He? Who was He humble, or who was He obedient to? He was obedient to the Father. And so, in His relation to the Father, while on this earth, hey, He wasn't very meek when He's calling the Pharisees a bunch of serpents and running the money changers out of the temple, but He was perfectly meek and humble in relation to the Father and always doing the Father's will. That is the example that He is setting for us. That God wants me to not be self-willed and stubborn and rebellious like an untrained animal, but rather God wants me to be surrendered and submissive to the Father's will just as Jesus was, to be meek and lowly in heart, not stubborn-hearted, not arrogant, not haughty, not prideful, but in my relation to God, I'm to humble myself before Him and humble myself under the mighty hand of God and be submissive to His will for my life, not an animal that's going the other direction, but to be a well-trained ox that does exactly what the master wants us to do, you see. And I am to learn from His example. And He is the perfect example for us. So He commends Himself that He's meek and lowly in heart. But He also commends His yoke. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now you take that yoke of religion, that yoke of sin, that the Bible compares to an iron yoke, and you compare that to the light yoke of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'd much rather bear that yoke with Him than bear that one all by myself with Satan loading me down every day and religion loading me down every day. I'd much rather be in this light yoke and with this easy burden that Jesus offers instead of what the world and Satan and religion has to offer. So He offers this better yoke. So an invitation, a declaration, an obligation, an education, and a commendation. But here's my question for tonight. Since the yoke is easy and the burden is light, here's my question. Why is life sometimes still hard for the child of God? Honestly, sometimes it feels heavy, doesn't it? Not me. Well, live the Christian life for a while. Okay. You know, sometimes, even while I'm serving the Lord, and I know that I'm in His yoke, and His yoke is easy, and His burden is light, sometimes I still get worn out, burned out, tired out, frustrated out? And so I want to give you some reasons why, or two reasons and a solution to why life is sometimes still hard for the child of God as we're bearing His yoke and bearing His burden. Number one, His yoke is still a yoke, and it's a burden to be carried. Our obligation is to take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. And it is a lighter yoke, and it is a lighter burden because Jesus said that it is. And I know by experience that it is. Being saved, however, does not free us from a life of obligations or burdens, but rather exchanges a very heavy yoke of guilt and sin for a light yoke of service and surrender, yoked up with Jesus and walking with Jesus. But it's still a yoke. It's still a yoke. And the Christian life has its burdens and obligations as well. Amen. Now, for example, let me give you a list of burdens we still have to bear. We still have to bear the burden of humanity. Our own humanity. That we are still the grandchildren of Adam and Eve. Y'all with me? Still the grandchildren of Adam and Eve. We're still in sin-cursed bodies on a sin-cursed earth. Sin, death is still working in us. Even though our spirits have been made alive again in Jesus Christ, we're still in dying bodies that can get sick, that are affected by the weather. We get tired. We deal with others who are sick or tired or infirm. We have allergies and hindrances and obstacles and problems that wear us down. And all of these are our universal inheritance from Grandpa Adam. And folks, getting saved didn't suddenly cancel out the fact that we get sick, we get tired, we get worn out, we deal with our flesh nature, that Judas Iscariot that lives in all of us, and so we still have that burden of humanity. Then we have a cross to bear. Jesus didn't say wear a cross, He said what to bear a cross. And bearing a cross after Jesus is not always easy. Sometimes it is very difficult to shoulder my cross and bear it as I follow Jesus. And that's just a fact. We have individual burdens to bear. In Galatians 6:5, for every man shall bear his own burden. That means that I have individual responsibilities that I cannot delegate, that I have to carry. They're mine. Every man shall bear his own burden. Mrs. Raspberry is my burden. In the sense that she's my wife and my responsibility. Yo, it's okay, folks. We're all friends and family here. All right? Mrs. Raspberry is my burden in that I'm her husband and I have responsibilities to her. My children are I'm their father. Okay? That is my responsibility. I can't pass that on. So I hope someone else will be their father. That's my job. And pastoring this church, you know, I can delegate different aspects of ministries, and I should, because it's good for all of us to serve and have opportunity to grow. But ultimately, there can only be one pastor, and that pastor has to be willing to bear his burden for the Lord. And on we can go. You have your job obligation. That's your burden. We have things that we simply can't delegate to others. They are ours. And sometimes, folks, even burdens we love, and they can still get burdensome to us and can wear us out. Then we have burdens to share. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now, some burdens are yours alone and others need to be shared. For example, I mentioned that I'm the father to my kids, but that's a burden. Mrs. Raspberry and I, we're in this together. We're a partnership, and when it comes to raising our kids, we share that responsibility. Amen. And there are other, you know, in our church, our ministries, it's not one little ministry here disconnected from everything else. We're all bearing a common burden together. And then there's other times when folks, we love someone and they're just worried and they need help, and we come along and we help them and we say, let me help you carry your burden for a while. Well, these are just things that are part of being a Christian and living that Christian life. Romans 15 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So you say, I'm a strong Christian. Then good, you need to be helping somebody. Amen. I'm a strong Christian. Who are you helping? Are you bearing anyone else's burden? If you're strong, if someone else is weak, you should be helping them. But that can be a burden sometimes. And sometimes we have the burden of trials and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, not suffer to be tempted above that you're able. and says that you may be able to bear it. And so sometimes we go through these times of difficulties and trials and hardships, and those are just burdens that have to be borne. I'm just trying to understand. I'm a Christian. Why? And I have a light yoke and a light burden. But why do sometimes I still get tired? Because it's still a yoke. We still have things that are difficult to bear. And by the way, work is still work. Now, Jesus doesn't want us wearing a yoke as a fashion statement. I think that'd be interesting if that came into style. Everything else has been in style. I mean, I've seen young people wearing dog collars with spikes on them. Girls with perfectly good hair dyeing it pink and green. Young women dyeing their hair gray. That's the craziest thing I've heard of in a long time. I mean, I know women who dye their hair from gray to something else. I can't understand a healthy young woman with normal colored hair. I'm going to dye my hair gray. I'll just dye half my hair gray. That's neither here nor there, but brother, I'm going to preach it anyway. Strange. Now, if a woman wants to dye her hair, I don't care. I think you should dye it a color that God picked for women to have hair color. You know, if you got acid rain and your hair turned green, that's one thing. I just say these things sometimes to wake up some of them aren't really paying attention. But my point is, I don't even know where I was there, but, oh, yokes, fashion. I can just see young people walking around one day with big yokes around their neck. I remember when kids wore big clocks on chains. My mother, when I was a young person, we were at the mall, and this guy came walking by with a big wall clock, you know, with a swinging pendulum and everything on a chain around his neck. My mother walked up to him and said, "Excuse me, do you have the time?" We've had people walking with their, I don't know how to use belts, pants hanging. I mean, so what? Who would stop young people from starting to wear yokes? Just walking around with a yoke on their neck. Maybe y'all can start that. Be interesting. But the yoke is not a fashion statement. The yoke means work, and God has called us to work. So work is still work. Now, the difference is this. Before I got saved, I was bearing this heavy burden of sin and guilt to no real good purpose and for no eternal value. And I was really just working as a slave following Satan's pattern for my life. Now I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Now I get to serve in the family business. I'm not a slave under Satan's burden over here with no purpose in life. Now I'm over here, I'm a child of the King. And I'm not serving to be saved, I'm serving because I am saved. I'm not serving to become a child of God, I'm serving because I already am a child of God. It's also like the difference between a woman who works as a waitress in a restaurant and she just works and she's just serving her customers and it's hard and her feet hurt and legs hurt and it gets tired. And the difference between that and her getting married and having a family, now she's serving food to her loved ones. It's a difference between serving strangers in a restaurant and serving your husband and your kids at the dinner table. And so it's still work, but it's for a different purpose and it's for a different person. Amen. And so work is still work, but that doesn't mean we don't get tired. I was thinking back to when I worked at Saia Motor Freight. When I first started there, you worked 10-hour shifts nonstop. They expect you to just grab something as you worked. And when I started there, they only had like four or five forklifts, and all the guys with seniority got the forklifts, and us new guys, we got pallet jacks. And the pallet jacks were totally manual. They weren't these new ones that push a button, they go up and down. You had to manually jack things up, and you had to manually pull it behind you or push it in front of you. And the guys with seniority, they wouldn't help you. I'd say, "Hey, give me a lift. I'm helping this go over here." And they'd sit over there in front of this other guy's trailer for 5 minutes and just chat, you know. Here are the rest of us are trying to pull things along the dock. And I remember one day pulling a 2,000-pound skid, 1 inch at a time, down the dock because no one would help me move this 2,000-pound skid. Well, then they got new forklifts. By the way, I'd go home so tired doing that kind of work for 10 hours. And then they got a bunch of new forklifts. And by then, so many guys had quit, I was up in seniority. And I started getting to drive the forklift. Now, I just pull up to that 2,000-pound skid and I pull a lever. Reverse. Go cruising down the dock. Set it down. Confump. And can you help me? I'm busy down here. But you know, after 10 hours, I still went home tired. It was still work. It was just easier work. And I just want you to understand that sometimes you're going to go home from church on Sunday and be tired, but that's not a problem. That just means you're doing something for the Lord. And it's not the same as bearing that iron yoke under Satan. It's now the same as working for your, in your family business. It's the same as the mother feeding her children and her husband. It's now a work of love, but it's still work. Well, I want to hurry now. I'm almost done. The second point. Sometimes we make it harder by fighting against His leadership. We make it harder by fighting against His leadership. Now, why are we in the yoke with Jesus? To learn of Him. What are we to learn of Him? To be meek and humble and lowly of heart, be submissive to the Father, right? Now, imagine that this new ox in training doesn't want to do what the big ox is doing. Well, he can try pulling. He can stick his feet down and resist and thrash. And you know what the big ox is going to do? Drag him along. So here, I should illustrate, have a little kid come up and just hold a stick and see if that little kid, what the little kid can do by try to stop me if I'm moving. And sometimes in life, folks, as Christians, he's trying to teach us to be submissive, but we're being stubborn. He's trying to teach us to be humble, but we're being haughty. He's trying to teach us to be meek, but we're being arrogant. He's trying to teach us to do the Father's will, and we're too busy wanting to do our will. And so as Jesus is trying to teach us to obey the Father and guide us along so we learn to do, we're pulling this way and pulling that way, and all we're doing is wearing ourselves out, because you're not wearing out Jesus. He'll drag you along if He has to. Or the one with the reins, the man behind the plow, he has a tool at his disposal too. He has those ox goads. Remember what Jesus told Paul before he got saved? He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And you got this ox or this donkey or whatever, and it's being stubborn. And so the guy in the back, he just takes that sharp stick and he jabs the back of their legs, the hocks of their legs, and that'll get you moving. I just think I'll just stop here for a moment. Ah! That'll get you moving. And that's what the Lord does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's when He takes this Bible and He pricks or He cuts or he jabs us with the Word of God under Holy Spirit conviction. And He says, you know what? I think I'd like to get you going. I'm tired of you going this way. You're supposed to go that way. I'm tired of you going that way when you're supposed to go this way. I'm tired of you pulling back when you're supposed to be going forward. The Lord has ways of teaching us that are not always pleasant. If you and I get full of self-will and pride, remember what God told King Saul? He said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, I made you king over all Israel. Sometimes God elevates us when we're humble and it goes right to our little bitty heads. And we start to think too highly of ourselves. I want you to know that God can prune us back. And I know that from my own painful experience, that when we get too full of ourselves, we get too haughty, we get too stubborn, too self-willed, God has ways to jerk us back where we ought to be, or to prick us from behind to get us to go, or to prune us back and help us to remember that we were used to be small in our own eyes, and that's when God could use us. He wants us to be meek and lowly in heart. Now, if you're already that way, you're going to miss a lot of pain and discomfort. Well, one reason a lot of Christians are so tired is God's trying to teach them to go one way and they're just fighting the whole way, and all they're doing is wearing themselves out. It's exhausting to try to go your way. The rest and peace is in going His way. It's going His way. So what do? We come, we take, we learn of Him, we stop fighting against it, we are good students, we learn from what the Lord is trying to teach us. And what is the rest? What is the result? You shall find rest under your souls. Who wants that? I do. I do. Because this right in here, this is where I get tired. And I need rest in here. And He promises it to us. Take His yoke. Learn of Him. Quit fighting. Be humble. Be submissive to God's will. And you'll find rest under your soul.